When you preach about sin, two things happen. Either conviction or happiness that you're not part of it. If you're convicted today, I'm glad. If you're happy you're not a part of it, I'm glad. If you meet me out in the parking lot later and say you shouldn't have preached on that, I'll still be glad, but I'm going to run fast. I've lost 50 pounds. And I'm going to tell you right now, there ain't a whole lot of people in here catching me anymore. And I can run from here to my house now without taking a break. So understand, I'm preaching to you this morning because I want to help you. The things that I'm talking about are things that are becoming worse and worse. And the reason they're becoming worse and worse is because we care less and less. Understand, the sin's still the same. The sin hasn't changed. Our tolerance has changed. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's not any less sin in God's eyes than it was years ago. It's still the same. And until we understand that we are still in a battle until the Lord comes, that sin is just going to keep getting worse. Do you realize you're in a battle today? You're it. You're God's army. You've been drafted. When you accepted the Lord as your Savior, you're in. And He needs you. He needs you to fight for Him. You might say, well, the Lord can do whatever He wants, but He sure would like your help. And let me tell you something, you'll like the work. You might say, well, it's not the greatest payoff. That's because you can't see the money coming. The day's coming when the payday will come, and He'll pay His servants that have served Him well. If you fight for nothing else, fight for Him. Let's start out with prayer. And I want to talk to you this morning, to whom, that's correct English, I've learned, to whom do you pay rent? To whom do you pay rent? Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You again for the opportunity to preach Your word. I still can never let loose the fact that You called me to preach. I just don't get it. Lord, there's got to be people better than me. There's got to be people that are more suited to do this than me. But Lord, you know what? You do crazy things, and I sure am glad You called me to preach. Lord, let me preach well for You today. Let me decrease, always my prayer. Let me decrease and let You increase to everything. I don't want any part, Lord. You take all the parts, and we'll give You all the glory and honor for it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our custom here to stand for the reading of the Word of God. We stand for singing hymns. Glory to God, we're going to stand for reading the Bible. So let's go ahead and stand up real quickly. We'll read. I've already prayed, and we'll go ahead and sit right back down. This will be a quick one. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Starting in verse 19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? If you're saved today, the Holy Ghost is in you. He's right inside, right now, inside you. Which is in you, which you have of God. You didn't get it yourself. You had it of God. God gave it to you. Glory to God for that. And ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. I love that verse. Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Go ahead and have a seat. When I read those verses, I realize that the Lord has set up residence inside of me. I'm thankful that nobody else will fit. Just Him. The house is big enough for one occupant. Understand, with our flesh comes sin, and you're never going to get rid of it until you get to heaven. I know that. But understand this, the Lord takes up residence inside your house. Most of us are fixer-uppers. You can laugh. I'm a fixer-upper. I don't know about that. I don't know about you. But if this leads me to believe, if I read this right, most of us can get around or you wouldn't be able to get here today. You can move, right? That means you are what? Mobile. If you're, don't say that, sounds like you're dying. If you are mobile and you are a home, you're a mobile home. How many would ever thought that you came to a trailer park this morning? A trailer park. Here you are. And what's great is you don't have to pay rent here. You're bought with a price. This is a free campground. All you got to do is come up, show up. Now, I don't want any fire rings in the middle of the aisleway unless you're planning on cooking a hobo dinner or something like that, because that's good. You ever had a hobo dinner? Man, that's good stuff. You never thought you'd hear a hobo dinner in preaching service, did you? Boy, that's good stuff. But for the most part, we are a mobile home. We are somebody that literally takes our house or takes God's house to certain different places. Now, you know, if you remember in the book of Jonah, when he got in the boat, the preachers preached about it. Do you remember the verses there? He went down. He paid the fare. When you go to places, understand this. You will pay rent where you go. I want to read a statement to you. See if I can get this across to you. Let me pose a question. What is something that we pay for constantly that always does us harm, yet we will never own, but we will never stop paying for it? Can you tell me what that is? Let me read it to you one more time. What is something that we pay for constantly on a consistent basis that always does us harm, yet we will never own and will never stop trying to buy it? Sin. Every one of us, every single one of us in here pays somewhere in our lives. You take your mobile home to a campground that you ought not be at, and you pay there. Sin always has a payment. Never, I don't care how small it is, we talk all the time. I hear people preach all the time about drunkards. I hear people preach all the time about addicts. Understand something. A drunkard and an addict are no different from the guy that smokes just once and the guy drinks just once. It's still sin. I love the fact that we try to put different levels on sin. Sin is sin. Don't try to make it any easier on your living. I'm just a social drinker. I'm getting ahead of myself. What are we paying rent to? Instead of, I love this. I'm going to have a little fun. I hope you don't mind. How many have heard of Yogi Bear campgrounds? Huh? How many of you check into the Yogi Beer campground? Hey, you know what's funny? We talk about, well, if you're a drunkard, you got problems. I got news for you. You got beer in your freezer, you're a problem. If you got beer inside your house, you got a problem. If you got liquor inside your house, you got a problem. You say, why? Well, brother, I didn't come here to hear this kind of preaching. Well, you came to the wrong house. Understand something. The sin that you partake in is a place that you take your mobile home to, and when you take that mobile home there, you pay rent right there. Yeah. Take one sip of alcohol, you're paying rent. I don't care what you say. You've heard this 100 times from this pulpit. I promise you, an alcoholic did not start out being 12 beers every hour. Right. An alcoholic started out by cracking open the first one. Right. Well, we got problems when we become alcoholics. You got problems if you don't think alcohol is a problem. Yeah. Yeah. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. The Bible says that. And what's funny is the NIV changes that to strong drink makes brawling. In other words, if you drink, you might fight somebody. I don't know that every drunkard fights people. Some people get real happy and stupid. I was one of those happy, stupid people. Understand this. It's the drink that comes inside of you that's raging. It's the drink that courses through your veins that's raging. It's the drink that flows through you and gets you that dizzy, happy, loopy feeling because it's raging through your body. It's taking away. And by the way, alcohol does this because it feels good. The devil knows that. If it made you sick right away, that's why you don't drink castor oil all the time, because that tastes bad. I'm going to tell you right now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you've got your mobile home parked today, Yogi Beer Campground, you're sinning. And I don't think you even ought to have it in your home. I'm not talking about just taking a few. I'm talking about you ought not even have it in your home at all. Amen. Well, I take one to calm down at nighttime. No, you don't, you louse. Go to bed. I need it to wind down from the day. Come to Sunday school. You'd heard all about the joy that you can have through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, what's amazing is, and Christians are very prone to this. They're very prone to thinking that they're above things. That while I'm a Christian, I go to church. One beer is not going to harm me. In whose eyes? We are so good at justifying things. I pray all the time that these teenagers won't follow the same road that I followed when I was their age. I talk about all the time how I remember who I was when I was their age. Not because I'm proud of it. Please don't. A lot of people say, well, you talk about that like you're proud. I'm not proud of it. I wish I'd have never done any of it. Because every time I did it, it had a payday. It had a payment that I had to pay. It had rent that I had to give. It was something that I ended up paying for every time. There's never a time when there isn't a payment with it. Never a time. My question is this. If you took your mobile home to a campground like that, would you want the Lord to be there with you? Would you want the Lord to be there when you cracked open that Milwaukee's Best? That Michelob? Would you want the Lord to be there when you did that? Because he is there. You take him with you. The eyes of the Lord are upon all the things that we do. No, he's in your house. He's in you. You can't leave without him. He's like the American Express card. But what's funny is, and many people in churches think that it's okay. There's verses in the scripture that say you can take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And I'm sure that when you drank that wine, your stomach was upset, right? I'm dead certain that's why you did it. You took that wine because you were sick. And I'm sure it was just a little bit. You didn't stop at the whole bottle of Mogan David. You did this a little bit. We lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves whatever we can do. We tell ourselves to justify what we're doing. And believe me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you're paying rent. You're paying rent. You're paying rent. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better get out of that rent cycle.
Amen.
And don't look to get your deposit back. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the greatest tragedies is that Baptist preachers have stopped preaching about alcohol. Billy Sunday would be rolling over in his casket right now if he knew that we weren't preaching against alcohol. I've said this lots of times from up here, but understand this. I want you to think with me and use your little noggins this morning. Do you realize that there was a day that this country had prohibition? Do you realize that? Now 90% of your bulletin boards have drinking on them? We have no problem having 100% of the commercials that are on our TV set, which I'm telling you right now, you can say what you want to say. I'm not one of those people that doesn't have no TV in their house, but I'm going to be honest with you. It's getting to that point. It's getting to that point where you can't even turn a TV on without seeing filth, without seeing foulness, without seeing things that will tear your life up. And what's sad is nobody's talking about it anymore, and people are running rampant out through their lives, paying rent at all these places, when glory to God, you're taking God with you. Well, preacher, is alcohol really that bad? Yes, it is. I challenge you to find somebody that's got an alcoholic in their family. Not the alcoholic, because the alcoholic's fine. He'll tell you, there's no problems. Alcoholics are always good. I ain't got no problem. I want you to talk to their family. And I want you to ask them how much that rent has cost. Are you willing? Are you willing to pay enough rent that it literally takes away from your life? Are you willing to give your life? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it's not worth it. The rent is just not worth it. Do you visit the Yogi Beer campground? Because I got news for you. You need to take that stuff and pour it down the drain today. If you've got alcohol in your house, you need to pour it down the drain. Well, preacher, alcohol costs a lot of money. You know how sad that is? It costs a lot of money, yet you have it in your house. It costs a lot of money, but you have it in your house. You may not own a Bible, but you own some beer. You may not own a Bible or a tie you can wear to church, but you got no problem having alcohol at home. You may not be able to own a decent car, but you can have alcohol at home. It's amazing if we trim some of the things that we're paying rent to out here, how easy our life would be over here. I watched a fellow walk down the street the other day with two 12-packs of beer, cases probably of beer in his hands. Walking down the street with beers in his, do you know how heavy that is? Walking down the street, and he was happy to do it. He's like, yeah. He caught it when he let go. You try to watch a drunkard drop a beer, that's never going to happen. He would crawl on hands and knees before he'd let that drop. I know for sure, and I'm not talking about the cost of what he had in his hands, because the cost of what he's doing to himself is so far beyond.
Amen.
To whom do you pay rent? Well, Brother Dave, I don't have a problem with alcohol. Well, I'm going to have a little fun with this next one, too. This is completely jumping off the circuit, and this is so much fun for me. Instead of Jellystone Campground, how many heard of them? Jellystone. I like this. How about instead of Jellystone, you have Bellystone Campground? Yeah. Now I'm going to have fun with this one. I'm going to stand right in front of the teenagers. How many of us have seen far too many belly buttons this year? Amen. The Bible tells us that we have to cover ourselves and live a modest life. The teenagers, about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, write a piece of paper on what they would like to have in a person to attract. What would they would like to see in a person that they would like to attract? And they didn't give me Sunday school answers. I was excited about that. They actually told me true. And by the way, in everybody, looks are number one. Now, you can say that they're not, but you lie. Because the first thing you want to do is have somebody as good looking as you or better. You're not going to skim the bottom of the trough, find somebody, I needed somebody with a good person. You're not going to, you could say that, but that's lying. You got to have somebody that looks good to you first. That's just the way it is. You're not going to eat an apple if it's all shriveled up on a tree and rotted. You just got to look good first. Right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. I'm the only one that beats that because I married way up. But she was better than me, see? I said, ooh, she's better than me, I'll take her. But the looks last about a week. Then you start to know the person. And out of these teenagers, do you know they all wanted somebody with a good personality? Somebody that cared about them? They wanted somebody that was good to them? Amelia wanted somebody stronger than her? You knew that was coming, didn't you? Yeah, she knew it was coming. It was coming. We've added a lot of things to her list since then, but we won't go there right now. But you know what impressed me about the kids? And by the way, this is with everybody. I don't think this differs with anybody. You all want somebody that you can be with the rest of your life. You don't want somebody that's only going to make it halfway through your trip. My question to the teenagers is always this. If you let yourself be shown, and I think that belly button, I think that's nakedness. I think that's foul. It's disgusting. By the way, when was a lint trap ever pretty? And what do you think you are going to attract by showing your belly? What are you going to attract? And what's funny is if you fit in the first group we talked about at Yogi Bear Campground, you probably don't have a choice. Because your shirt's usually right half up anyways. Let me tell you something. I am telling you this from the bottom of my heart. Most of you are older people, probably don't have this problem. But if you're younger in here today and you think that you look good enough to wear no clothes outside, you're full of yourself and you need to start covering yourself up. If you want to attract something that really cares about you and really loves you and is really going to be there for you for the rest of your life, cover yourself up and let them find out what that package is throughout the journey. I love these kids today wearing skin-tight clothes. Shame on you parents for buying that stuff for them. Amen. Leave a little, at least a little sum for the imagination. And by the way, teenagers today are getting heavier all the time. Well, Brother Dave, you shouldn't talk about fat people. I used to be one. Don't get off. I'm still one. Get off of my case about that. These kids need to be taught today that they're not good enough looking to do that. And by the way, I don't think you're ever good enough looking to expose yourself to people. So I tell you right now, I saw a kid just yesterday. He was wearing gold breeches, underwear. Do you know why I knew that? Because his shorts were down around his thighs. When is the last time you wanted to see a little boy skid in the back because he shows off his underwear? I'm getting so disgusted with our kids today. I'm getting so disgusted with how they dress because they want to show off their hind end to everybody. Let me tell you something. We live in a society that is getting like that because we don't talk about it anymore.
Well, we can't have a full teen class if we tell them they got to put clothes on.
What kind of messed up church do you go to? There are so, and this is summertime. Here it comes. This is summertime. Here it comes. You're going to see the boys out in wife beater t-shirts. You're going to see the boys out in these tank tops because they're so tough. Skin tight tank tops walking around. Kid weighs 1.5 at the most. What kind of girl are you going to attract by making yourself look fake?
Wow, he's good looking. He's walking kind of funny, but he's good looking.
We live in an age where we treat that as no big deal. Where we treat that as that's okay. It's not okay. It's not okay. When is the last time that you heard a preacher preach about mixed swimming?
What are you talking about, Brother Dave? Mixed swimming?
I don't want anybody else swimming with my wife. I don't want them swimming with my wife. That's my wife. I don't want anybody looking at my wife when she's got a swimsuit on. I don't want that to happen because she's good looking and I married up. And I'm supposed to protect my wife, and you're supposed to protect your decency. Amen. You go out on a beach laying out like this in your swim gear. That's okay. Come see me. Here I am. The last time I tried to do that down in Florida, a big group in green came out trying to roll me back in. I'm going to tell you right now, we live in a society that needs to have people that care about decency and modesty and morality again. Amen. Glory to God, this is a Baptist church, brother, and we care about that kind of stuff. Amen. My daughter's 13 years old. I had her stand up. And the reason I did that is because I realized with shaky knees that she's a teenager. In the society that she lives in today, everything I told you is okay, but not here, not in my house. And so there's going to be a day, I'm sure, somewhere along the lines where my kids are going to go, I'm sick of you, Dad. I'll go out and make my own living, buy my own clothes. If I bought it, it's good enough. Hogwash. Uh-uh. I don't play that game. I don't care whether you bought it or not. It better pass my approval. Amen. Well, Brother Dave, you're just going to lose your kids to the devil. I've heard that said to my face. I love that. I'd rather lose my kids to the devil than give them to him. Well, Brother Dave, you've been really nice for a month. Now all of a sudden you're being mean. You know, see, that's what you think is mean. Let me tell you what getting away from sin is. A lot of people believe when you become a Christian that you have to leave your life behind that you once lived. True, but don't look at it that way. When you're back here and you're mired in your muck and filth and the Lord takes you out, don't think of it as you're severing that life from you. Tell me, you're taking a brand new life and going this way, away from what you're turning to a whole new person. What's amazing to me is that we think this is okay. Well, please don't misread me. If we had a person walk in right now that we never knew and they dressed, I want them to stay. We need to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. But you that are under the sound of my voice today that know the Lord is your Savior, shame on you if you live in that place called Bellyshone Park.
It's just my belly. Isn't that okay?
You know what? It is not okay. I think you should keep yourself covered and modest. And I think we should live a life where you care about who you're going to attract someday. I don't want Levi to find, well, Levi's not messing, bringing a dress right. I don't ever want Jim Well to find somebody that he found in a two-piece bathing suit on the beach. Why? I want him to have somebody that cares about the Lord. And if you care about the Lord, you won't have yourself dressed like that. Well, you don't know how much I care about the Lord. You show us, though. You show us how much you care. Because you show us by whether you keep yourself covered or not. Nakedness is a sin. Having yourself naked in public is an absolute terrible thing. These girls walking around in these mini skirts, these boys walking around with no shirts on, it's always the guys that don't even have anything to show off that are showing themselves off like that, and they live their lives not desiring to have the things of God. If you desire to have the things of God, you'll go to a place where you don't have to pay rent. I don't understand why little girls are getting raped. I don't understand why 10-year-olds are having babies. I heard 10 years old, 10, T-E-N, 10, had a child. 10. Did you ever think that we would come to this? Because we stopped talking and preaching about sin in our pulpits, and because we have kept our mouths closed about the immoralities of this world, we are having our world go that way. Right. Yeah. 10. What is she going to do? We've got condoms being handed out in elementary schools. In the public schools in Maryland, they voted to have condoms being handed out without even telling the parents. I would love to meet that principal face to face. You say, is it really that bad? Our tolerance has grown so great that the things that used to bother us not even don't bother us. We think it's okay. And the things that should bother us don't bother us. We're so afraid of people. We're so afraid. Well, Brother Dave, you're not going to keep a full church if you keep talking about this. Not my church to keep. Preacher's going to do that. I'm just a fill-in. And I can make you mad all you want and have preacher take care of bringing you back. But if you'll search your hearts, you'll see that what I'm telling you is true. And you'll see that what I'm telling you is what the Bible tells you about keeping yourself covered. Because I would just about bet that your daughters wouldn't be so attractive to people if you keep them covered. At least not the right kind of people. Because I want my daughter to marry a preacher. And if she's not a preacher, somebody with a lot of money. I want my daughters to marry a preacher. I want my son to be a preacher. Now, if that doesn't happen, I understand, but I still want them to follow the Lord, Jesus Christ, with whatever he would have for them, and the road that to follow him does not include two-piece bathing suits and tight clothing. Because she's going to attract the wrong guy with that. Turn to Philippians 4:10. We're going to back out of this campground and go somewhere else. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. Back up one to verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11 says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Well, I wonder if you ever pulled your mobile home into the Cozy Covet campground. The Cozy Covet campground. We live in America. You should say amen. I love America. I love this country for everything she stood for. And yes, I know the walls are coming down, but the Lord's coming back. The greatest problem in my eyes in America today is covetousness. The greatest one. Immorality, all these other things. Covetousness harms America, I believe, more than any of the others. And the reason is this. We all in this room desire to have success. The problem becomes, do we deem success as the Lord deems success? I don't believe we do. I believe we deem success as what the people of this room see as successful. Big house, nice cars, nice clothes. Do you know that's not what the Lord sees as successful? We take our lives to a place called the Cozy Covet Campground where the rent is more expensive, I believe, than any other place. Did you know that we are at an all-time high in this nation today over foreclosures? We're at an all-time high over credit card debt. We're at an all-time high of these things because simply we want what other people have. Not because you think that, I'm telling you right now, if nobody else was in the world, you wouldn't care what house you lived in. If nobody else was in the world, you wouldn't care what clothes you wore. It'd be okay to come in here like a poor beggar. Wouldn't matter because nobody to see you. But if you are around people that have more stuff than you, you think you've got to have more stuff. Because if you don't, you just don't fit in. I'm so thankful I've got a Savior that doesn't care how much stuff I have. We live our lives, and what you'll do is this, and hey, you can amen me, curse me, all you want to do, but I promise you this, we've got credit card problems in this church right now. I are one. And I've been paying and paying and paying and paying. When I first got married, I brought 7 years of debt along with me because I had to have what other people had. And because I did that, they gave me a MasterCard. They call it MasterCard because it's your master. Now I'm preaching with, I am the focus here. If you fit in, great. Stick your foot out, I'll step on it on the way by. What happens is this, we see that Brother Toll has something great and we wish we had that. So we go out and get it. Here, take this. They shoot it through and what's great is we keep doing it because we don't have to pay for it right then. It feels good. Yeah, this is what I like to have. You know, it used to be a day when people cared about paying for things in cash. Well, you're one to talk. I'm not one to talk. I just told you, I've had credit card problems myself, and there's nothing more burdensome and nothing more terrible for a man to face than being in a lot of debt. You want to walk with your shoulders sunk low? Man, get in debt. You want to walk with no smile on your face? Man, get in debt. Pull on into the Cozy Covet campground. The campground is almost full. And the reason it gets to be that way is because we have no patience for the Lord to do something in our life. I want to live a life, and this is something that you have to train yourself to do. I am still working on it for myself. I'm trying to train myself to be happy with what I have. To be thrilled for what the Lord gave us. Do you realize the Lord gave us a full building today? Amen. Do you know the Lord gave us somebody to get saved this morning? Yes. Do you know the Lord gave us visitors that are here with us for the very first time, trying to find a place? I believe when you come here, you're trying to find a place where you can be. Did you know this is that place? Amen. In these walls, we don't look at each other for what we have. And let me tell you something, if you do, you need to change your heart. Just because somebody has a lot of things does not mean they're happy. You will not find happiness in material. You will not find happiness in money. I remember seeing a story years ago. They had 15 lottery winners on the TV, all sitting in chairs. And the question was posed to them, each one individually. What did the lottery winnings do for you? Out of the 15 people, 10 were married when they won the lottery. All 10 were divorced. All 10. Out of the 5 that were left there, they said their lives were worse and they were more in debt than they've ever been in their entire life. And they won the lotto. You're not going to find happiness in greenbacks. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find happiness in money, and I bet you I could point to 6 or 8 people in this room that would testify to just that. You're not going to find happiness with a lot of money. But you will find happiness in the Lord if you can be content with what He's given you. The problem is we're not happy with what He gives us. We're not excited with what He gives us. The Lord, please understand, He is the Creator. He made the flowers and the trees. He made the oceans and the lakes and keeps them staying right where they're at. He made all these things that we have in our creation, yet we wouldn't be happy with what He would give us. We are so foolish. Bless God, if I don't have a 50-inch plasma screen, I can't keep up with the Joneses. Welcome to Cozy Covet Campground. Remember when the microwaves first came out?
Yeah.
Microwaves were, wow. Today, they're like, if I don't have one, I can't eat. Go down and get a new microwave. Ours broke down. I want to eat tonight. Oven. Isn't that something Grandma used to use? What is this big thing with dials on it? Teenagers have probably never even turned on an oven. Oven. I've got a microwave. And you know what? That's getting slow. Pretty soon all the things are going to come off the shelves hot. You're going to have to go to the store with oven mitts. When the first came out, we were the last one on our block to get one. We were. The next door neighbors, the Lees, they had the microwave. Oh. It was so cool because you could put some on a plate and heat it up, and the plate would not be hot, but the food would be hot. Did you ever think how amazing that is? Not anymore. We've had them for a long time. That was so cool. Glazed donut was the first thing I heated up. 15 seconds. It came out soft and a little gooey. I said, this has got to be the greatest thing ever. And you had to have one. It was there. You saw it. And if we don't have one, the people will talk about us. And the people will say, hey, they don't have a microwave. Why don't they have a microwave? They must be poor. I know this is a little comical, but I believe I'm hitting pay dirt here. We didn't have a color TV for a long time. These kids have never seen a black and white. Black and white? I didn't even know those two colors existed. Anymore. Man, if your TV is not huge, you don't have a TV. 19 inches? Good Lord, we've got that in our car. We live in a sick society today that you watch somebody down the road that's got something better than you. Bless God, you've got to have it.
That's right.
And you won't stop until you've made every banker and every MasterCard owner in the whole country happy and satisfied that they've got your interest rate and they can put it up as high as they want and you can't do anything about it. You ever looked at your credit card the last few statements? I bet you your rating's up to about 30%. 30%! Do you even remember what you bought? Do you even remember what made your $5,000 credit card debt? Probably not. Amazing. I'm just going to get a credit card for emergencies. How many have said that line? And then that thing fires your pocket. Woo! I got a $5,000 limit. This is only $1,000. If I break that up into 10 or 11 payments, I can have that paid off in a year, no problem. I'll just break it up real quick. Interest will only be just a little bit for right now, no problem. I can make it. The problem is you can't make it. Because if you could make it, you'd have bought it for cash. And I don't mind you having a big TV. Please do invite me over for all the big ball games. But understand this. I'm not going to pull into the campground and sacrifice my life because I don't have something that somebody else has. To be content, to be happy with what the Lord has given you. I'm not saying to not have nice stuff. Please do, and I hope everybody does. I pray that you'll have financial success. I really do. But understand this. With financial success comes rent. And you've got to understand what the Lord wants you to do with your money. Oh, here you go. I knew it. I came to this church, Baptist preacher, going to preach on money. Just read the Bible. A few chapters, you'll get into the money. Because the Lord desires you to be happy. You're not going to be happy spending your money on stuff. It just doesn't last that long. Funny thing, computers and electronics are perfect for this. Used to be that a 30-inch TV, you were like you were in a theater. Wow! Anymore? That's in your bathroom. That's just a little TV. They're going to get bigger. And the thing that you just bought is going to be obsolete tomorrow. You're going to sacrifice and pull into the Cozy Covet campground because you saw Tom, Dick, and Harry that had something that you didn't have. You're going to pull in here and you're going to start to pay rent. And I'm going to tell you right now, they flatten your tires at that campground. They put wheel chocks on so you can't ever leave. How many have prayed on a credit card and just keep on, don't put your hands up, I take that back. I'll put my hand up twice. I just keep paying and keep paying and keep paying. I'll give you a perfect example. Here it is. You may fire me after this. Go ahead. I had a credit card that I got 4 or 5 years ago. I put a job on there because I was working remodeling basements years ago. And I put a whole job on there. And the guy nailed me at the end of the job and didn't pay all the money that he should have paid. $5,000 on that credit card. You know what my balance is today? $4,300. I've paid on it for 5 years. They chocked the wheels at Cozy Covet Campground, brother. I'm going to be a big contractor. I know some big contractors. I'm going to be big like them. I'm going to get this big job. I'm going to go ahead and do everything I can to make myself look like a big contractor. Understand this. I got myself in a world of debt and a world of hurt paying rent at the Cozy Covet Campground. One of the most shocking things that you'll ever see is if you would go and find out some of the financial lives of the people in this church today, in this country, it's not getting any better. But a lot of times we can't blame it on the economics. I can't pay my bills. A lot of the people I worked with at Goodyear and when I worked at the factory had patterned their lives after the overtime they were getting. When the overtime shut down, they filed bankruptcy. Should we live our lives outside of that? The Lord wants us to be content with what He's given us. The Lord wants us to be happy with what we have. And I know it's hard. But when you pull up and you go past the Cozy Covet campground, keep driving. Don't pull in. Because they're paying rent with interest inside there. If I could help you today, the Lord owns you. If you got saved, the Lord owns you. He's paid the ultimate price for you. He gave His life just for you. He loved doing it. We found out this morning in Sunday school, it was His joy. It was His joy to suffer and die for us. He paid the only thing He had that could satisfy the bill. He paid with Himself. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you think that you pull in at Yogi Bear Campground and you pull in at the Belly Shown, you pull into those places and start partaking in sin, it's going to be amazing how quickly you'll be involved in all different kinds of sin. It's amazing how you start paying rent here. The next thing you know, you get another credit card in the mail. Next thing you know, you get another one. Next thing you know, you are buying things and paying for things and doing all these other things that you can't keep up with. And the Lord is screaming to you, please stop. All I want you to do is be happy with what I've given you. Understand that everything you've got has come from me. Amen. If you go out and get something on your own, you're going to have to pay for it. But if you let me give it to you, I will provide for you. And what's great is, if you never pull into those campgrounds, you'll never have to pay rent. And what's great, you come to church today. This is a rent-free zone. We'll even let you dump off your sewage for free. The Lord desires you to be happy. But you're not going to be happy unless you do it His way. Please, I'm begging you, come out of your sin of drinking alcohol. Come out of your sin and cover yourselves in this summertime. Come out of your sin and be happy with what the Lord gives you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, I'm begging you today to get into the hearts of these people. Let them know how much you care about them. Let them know how much you love them. And Lord, please, let us be happy with you, what you've given us. You're the creator. You've got everything. You could give us everything. Lord, let us be happy with what you give us. Lord, please, let us not look at others and say, man, I wish I was them. Because the Lord didn't make you them. The Lord made you you, and you're very important and very unique and very great in his eyes. You being who you are is what makes the Lord happy. Please, please, Lord, let him see that you love them. Let him see that you want to provide for them. And Lord, as Baptist Church, let us take a greater stand against sin. We take a tremendous stand against sin, but Lord, let us never stop that. Let us always stay focused on what is very important, and that's helping to steer people away from the things that can so easily take them down. Lord, let them know that there's a place. There's a place that they can come. And that place is your house. No rent here. No payment here. This is a place that they can come and be loved and cared about and prayed for and helped. Let them know that there is such a place. And this is that place. In your house. Where you are. Let them pull their mobile homes in freely. Let them drive in here freely. Get all the repairs they need. Get rid of all the baggage that they have. And Lord, just come into a place where they can be loved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. Does the Lord live inside of you? Does he take up residence inside your mobile home? I challenge you, if he does, to keep driving the straight and narrow road away from all those things we talked about. And it's just a few. There are so many. Please stay away from those things. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say beyond a shout out, Brother Dave, I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm raising my hand up real big and tall to let you know that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I see those hands. You may put them down. How many can say, you know what? I don't know that he's living inside of me. I don't know that I can take you to a place where I accepted him as Savior. Know this. Lost person, he died for you too. He died just for you. He can do that. He's God. He desires you to come into his house rent free. And he wants you just to accept him as Savior. That's it. That's all you have to do. What a great and wonderful God. No lighting candles, no turning cartwheels, nothing special here. Just accept him that he really is. How many could say, Mr. Ballard, I don't know. I don't know. If I died, I'd go to heaven. Put your hands up real tall. I don't know. I'm not sure. I see that hand back there. Amen. Is there another? Is there another? I'm not sure. Make it sure today. Do not wait. Don't wait another minute. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring for you. You could die on the way out of this building without Christ, and you'll go straight to hell. You'll split it wide open. Don't wait. You came here on purpose. The Lord brought you here on purpose. Don't you wait. He desires to save you today. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much. I thank you for the hand that was raised during Sunday school. Glory to God. I'm so thankful I saw that hand raised again that he knew he was saved this afternoon. Lord, I would right now that you would kick the devil right out of here. Get him out of here, Lord. And let that person that raised their hand today, let them come forward. Nobody will be looking. When we stand, nobody will be looking. Nobody will be looking. Nobody will embarrass you. Nobody will come to you. But if you know that you don't have the Lord, then you need to come get him. And it's just not that hard. The people of this church love people like that, and we want you to come and be saved. Lord, please help us. Help us to always want your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Everyone stand, please.